Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In my mind, I'm gone to
Cal. All right, welcome back here. We're live in Charlotte for the ACC football kickoff, Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour, presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. Always great place to watch a game, grab a burger, and enjoy yourself. Want to thank them, obviously, for being our sponsor, allowing us to come up here. And it's always a pleasure to have the head football coach at the University of Miami, Manny Diaz, with us here this morning. Manny? First time we've seen each other, man. This is crazy.
It is good to be in person. It's good to be right across the table from you. This is pretty cool.
You know, we were just talking about how crazy last year was for everybody, for you trying to figure out who's going to play. I know having you on the radio show every week, right down there to the wire, do we have enough guys? And I think people, we almost forgot about that, of how many guys. You guys kept it secret for the most part. You didn't want to expose players. What was that like going through that from week to week, especially with guys you're really counting on?
There was just so much uncertainty. You know, we didn't know. I mean, this time last year, we didn't even know we were playing. The day I'll never forget, it was an evening practice. We were in August, and we went on the field, and that was the night that the Big 12 was having the vote. You know, I think President Frank had kind of convinced the ACC to co-play. The SEC was going to play, but if the Big 12 didn't join us, really the whole thing would have fallen apart. We were out there practicing. It was just surreal. You could tell the kids – it was on their mind because, you know, it was day eight of maybe training camp, and are we really going to – is this going to happen? And we came out the field, and Blake James came out there and kind of gave the thumbs-up signal, and once the Big 12 was in, we knew we had a season. And so
– wow.
Yeah. It's and, you know, then we went on and played, and those days are forgotten. But coming back here and being a part of, you know, the season kind of getting ready to ramp up again, all those memories kind of flood back.
Manny, 19 of 22 starters back from last year. Basically a tight end and two really, really good pass rush. All three of them are really good football players, obviously. But to have all these guys back, plus all the guys with so much experience and all the guys after Eric King decided to come back, a lot of guys follow, including some of the guys we're going to be talking to today. You got to feel pretty good from the experience side of what you have coming back.
I do. We have the oldest team we've had since I've been at Miami as the head coach or defensive coordinator. And not just in terms of what that means on game day, but I think what that has meant during the offseason and the way that our guys have prepared, the way that our guys have worked, setting the tone in the weight room and in the summer program with David Feely. I think all of that matters. Now, I will say this, all around college football, everybody's very experienced. So I don't know that we stick out all that differently from anybody else, but for Miami and where we've been, to have these guys come back and set that type of leadership that maybe we've been lacking in past years is really big for our program.
Man, I don't know if I ever asked you, after you made the decision you're going to get back on the defensive side of the ball, when did you make that decision that I've got to do this?
It was shortly after the bowl game. You know, I think what I like to do is sort of let the season play out in its totality and then sort of take a week and really analyze where we've been, you know, take a look at all the numbers, what, you know, watch the film, and it just – you know, look, I always say, since I've been here in 2016, you know, we've got a lot of pride in the way that we play defense, and ultimately, the ultimate accountability for how we play defense, it had to rest at my feet. And that's why I felt like it wasn't a matter of, you know, I'm going to call better plays or anything like that. It was just a matter of that the players had to understand the accountability on defense had to come all the way to the head coach's door. And it's been a pleasure for me. I really enjoy doing it. And I think the players are enjoying it, you know, and that's really what it was about.
You saw the reaction, right? But the guy's like, yeah, coach is back. There is a comfort level because they've had success not too long ago with you as a defensive coordinator. So that all obviously all came into play knowing a lot of those guys have been around, wanted you back calling things.
That's right. But our success is going to be because of them and not because of me. And I mean that. I mean, it's, you know, and that's my job. My job is to hold them in account. And to make a defense, make a, you know, 11 guys play as one organism, to play as one unit. And then when that happens, then they have the great success. And ultimately, as a coach, that's really what you want to see.
Your defense, for a second here, I mentioned you lost some really good pass rushers. You concerned with that? I know you pick up a guy in the transfer portal. Do you have those guys that can put pressure and take care of the edge for you against the run?
Well, that'll be a big point. We'll find out in training camp. You know, I mean, obviously, we never really felt like we had a in-shape DeAndre Johnson going through spring practice. So he's you know, he's had a phenomenal offseason, you know, and with David Feely over the summer, getting into great shape. We think he's got some great ability. And then the development of a guy like Jafari Harvey is really exciting, you know, the leadership that Zach McLeod provides at that spot. And, you know, when I think back to, you know, maybe our defenses in 17, even 18, you know, our strength was being able to come at people in numbers, you know, and the relentless energy. Pass rush is the hardest thing physically to do on the field. Nothing empties a tank like rushing the passer. And we had to rely a lot on Jalen and Quincy a year ago because of not having Greg and some other guys being young. I think we've got more guys now that we can run at you with four deep at defensive end, four deep at defensive tackle, keep guys fresh and stay after the quarterback.
Coach, is there speaking of that, you know, kind of this ensemble cast, but is there a guy on defense that needs to be elite that would make everybody's job a lot easier?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why Bubba Bolden is here, you know, and hopefully we'll get a chance to speak with him today. Bubba is very talented, first of all, but he's very intelligent. You know, I had a chance to work with him. You know, we had a very – people forget – last couple of games of the year, we hardly had a defensive staff because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I ended up coaching the safeties for a couple of weeks and really got a chance to interact with Bubba and really saw how his mind works. He's a very intelligent player, and communication in the back end is so important. And having that guy that can really not just make his position go, but to make the people around him better. So I think that'll be really important for our secondary. We do have a lot of experience back there. And then you want to see the guys up front, you know, and it starts with the defensive tackle position. You know, the guys like John Ford and Nesta Silvera and, you know, Jordan Miller, Jared Harrison-Hunt. I mean, that's the Miami 4-3 always starts with that defensive tackle play. And I think that's a, you know, I know people like to speak about our linebacker play a year ago, but I think our defensive tackle play has got to make as big of a jump as anybody. And that's because if you're going to stop the run, it's got to start with those two guys.
Mm-hmm. Manny, what do you expect out of this class that's coming in? Some of them are already had spring football. A lot of them haven't. What, including, by the way, two of your top five-star guys.
Yeah.
How quickly can you fit them in? What do you expect from this recruiting class?
I'm excited to see, you know, the guys we did not have in spring. I'm excited to see, you know, on Green Tree, you know, here in a couple weeks' time. You know, what you want to see is you want to see them compete. You want to see how can they it's usually the speed of the game. And not necessarily the actual football side of it, it's the mental side of it, you know, just in terms of understanding schematically what the call is. And then you have to understand going against Rhett Lashley's offense every day in practice, it is, you know, the tempo is relentless. So if you think you know what to do, you're going to get exposed. You have to know you know what to do on every play. So, you know, just see if those guys can get in there. And like we always say, you know, the admission to the club on defense, it always starts with the same thing. Run to the ball as hard as you can and knock the hell out of whoever has it when you get there. You know what I mean? And if they can show those two things, us as coaches, we can kind of dial in the rest.
I was talking to you last night a little bit. We were talking about we treat University of Miami football like a major league sport. We do. From you coaching to 18, 19, 20-year-old drops a ball, misses a tackle, gets burned, gets beat on a pass rush. I always wonder, how do guys accept that? They know when they come to the U that, hey, listen, man, it's not high school anymore where you make a mistake at Palmetto High School, nobody really knows except mom and dad. It's a different
– Yeah, I'll tell you, you got to be tough to play it. I respect the hell out of our kids. You got to be tough to be a Miami Hurricane. It's a jersey that comes with a lot of expectation, and that's okay. You kind of want guys – I'll be very honest with you, we have felt guys in recruiting that – there was a guy in this year's cycle that I don't know that he really wanted you know, as the kids say nowadays, on it all the smoke that comes with being a Miami Hurricane, because it's not for everybody. I mean, it is, you are going to be watched, and it's going to be, you know, you're going to be held to a very high standard. Now, that being said, our job as coaches is still to develop the guys, and there is a role for everybody. And I think sometimes it's hard because if a guy doesn't make a good play, it's easy to say, hey, let's just throw this guy in the trash can. Well,
we do on radio.
But,
you're right.
But in this era, and it's so important now, especially with the one-time transfer deal, you know, I always say, like, you know, use a basketball analogy. You know, someone's got to box out. Someone's got to set a pick, right? Not everybody can take the shot at the last minute. And if you don't have a team with a guy that's willing to do the dirty work, set the pick, you know, be a role player, now it's hard because they all come wanting to be the star. And sometimes some guys are able to handle that adjustment and be the star. Some guys, you know what, they've got to understand, hey, listen, you got to be able to play this role, dominate your role, and that will help us win.
I was just asked from another radio station about De'Aaron King. I said he does embrace the thing that sets him apart, I think, from other guys that have played that position here, is he has embraced the challenges or the toughness that come with playing quarterback at the University of Miami. He's going to be judged like Dan Marino or Tua or whoever. He's going to be judged like a pro. He is here. He's going to be asked. You know the question he's going to be asked. What's his answer going to be? Is he ready? He looks pretty good. Looks pretty chiseled to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, Derek, he's had a phenomenal summer, you know, and they're doing everything right. The medical people still are very optimistic, you know, about him being ready for camp. And but you're right. You know, we can all see Derek's talent on the field, but his ability to handle the expectation of that program and that position and how that's helped Tyler Van Dyke, Jake Garcia, now they have a model. So that when Derek leaves, Derek didn't just make us better from when he was here. He makes us better in years to come because those guys now can train the quarterbacks to come. This is how it's done at the U.
Yeah, I want to ask you, Pope and Wiggins were hot topics last year. Drop balls. You go to the bowl game, they have some crucial drops in the game. And, you know, you were just talking about wanting to throw guys out, and yet they're obviously talented guys. I mean, they were recruited by a lot of schools, not just Miami. How do you treat them coming back in and a fan base is like, no, we've had enough. We want to get those, you know, get those young guys, anybody else. How do you treat that as a coach, and what do you tell those guys?
Okay, so what you tell them, you say, all right, let's look at – let's pull the lens back. Let's look at your career. Let's look at what you did as a freshman. Let's look at what you did your second year, and let's look at what you did your third year. Now, there's going to be some things that were really, really good and things that they – to use those two guys as an example – that they really improved on from year two to year three. And if you look at their production numbers, it absolutely went up. But there's certainly some things in their game that they definitely want to try to fix. Look, we're coaches. We're in the fix-it business. We're in the get-better business. And it almost sounds cliche, but, hell, it's true. So our job is to pour into those guys to try to make them the best players that they can be. Now, however, you also have to create competition at practice, right, which is what we did. That's why we brought in Charleston Rambo, right? That's why you recruit this great class. And ultimately, these guys get after each other every day on Green Tree practice field. And my confidence to know that a mistake I made a year ago, I may not make this year. Where does that come from? That comes from what I do every day, day in, day out at Green Tree. So what we do is we go to training camp. I'm really excited about the competition that we have. You go run it through, and then what I was mentioning, then you go set the roles. And I'll use a baseball analogy. Some guy's going to bat fourth. Some guy's going to bat eighth. But let me tell you something. When the guy's up that's batting eighth, hell, you need that guy to get on base.
Right.
And you just can't have it. It's not fantasy football where you just take all these guys out and put these other guys in. Going through the course of a year, you got to find a role for everybody. And we want our players to maximize their ability as much as possible so they can win their role.
All right, let's get to the other stuff. The NIL, been a hot topic. Great for radio, by the way. what are your thoughts early on how this thing has gone for the U, and where do you expect it? Do you like what you've seen so far? How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm very encouraged by some of the, you know, again, it's out of our control as a university or as a program, but you know, what I had hoped would happen is that the community would step up and really, you know, make the experience of being a Miami Hurricane the best experience of anywhere in college football, and use the advantage we have of the great economy we have down in South Florida to allow our guys to have an experience that you can't have in some of these other towns where they have good college football teams. So by all accounts, I think from our player standpoint, I think they're pleased. I think you can see it from a recruiting standpoint that, listen, you know, the people of Miami are going to take care of the Miami Hurricanes. And I think if we can establish that, and we've got some great people that are, seems like they're working towards that, that can't help but benefit our program.
Vaccination numbers. Are you happy with where they are? Can they get better? I know you guys don't talk much about them, but for you, are you happy?
Our players, it's been a slow, steady process. It's obviously a delicate topic, and you gotta just give them the information and give them the facts as good as you possibly can. We've had doctors, medical experts come and speak to the team, and again, I got to credit our leadership. I think some of our leadership went early on, got vaccinated, and they were fine. And I think the more players saw that and more guys got it, if things go the way we want to, I think we're going to be really happy with where we are numbers-wise when we start training camp.
Manny, it's always great being with you, man. I really appreciate you finding some time here while we're live on the air to come on this morning. Thank you so much. Good luck, and we'll be talking soon with you, man.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Can't wait for those Monday mornings. It's almost here.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's have some good ones, man. I always like when they're fun. There's no question about it. That's Manny Diaz, University of Miami head football coach. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.